Welcome to The Vinyl Preacher, your weekly Howl at the Moon, where we talk about the Bible and make a playlist. I'm Matt Cadle, pastor at St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Los Angeles, California.
And I'm Zach Pierce, freelance proclaimer of the gospel. This is the only podcast, I think, Matt, where people can come on and get the opinions of two people who are not professionally preaching right now. To have them tell other people what to do, how to preach.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, I've got one more sermon before a sabbatical, and then I'll be gone till November. So send a kiss to my mother. I'm using that a lot, and nobody gets the reference. But I think got it, Zach. So I appreciate it
a lot. I had that single. I couldn't afford the whole album, but I had the single.
Oh yeah. The single was distinct. I mean, the album was great. The Carnival. Wyclef Jean, my brothers and I listened to that all summer long. I think it was the summer of 97 or 98. But the single, there was a remix that was just phenomenal. Yeah.
Girl, I gotta leave. Please don't cry. Because when I come back, you know, the sky.
And then Bob Dylan was in the video. Like, it was a whole.
Was it?
Oh, yeah. Because it's like, I'm knocking on heaven's door. Like,
I just literally had the single.
Okay, this is right when we didn't have cable growing up, and then like this was the year I think that we got it. So it was the music videos I know the best are all from the summer of 1998. TRL. I mean, it was it's great. Anyway. Hey, also a fun fact related to that. Speaking of 90s music, this Spirit Week in my kid's school. I know your vinyl kid is out of school now. School's out for summer. My kids still in school for 2 more weeks. But this is Spirit Week. And so they were invited to dress like the 80s or the 90s. And so we wanted to tell them, we tried to convince them that like we actually knew things about the 80s and 90s because we were alive then, but they were much more interested in the sample picture that was sent for how they might dress. Just very uninterested in our lived experience.
What was the sample picture? What time you had to guesstimate? The
year I didn't even see. Well,
I assume it was me.
This is why people come to this podcast. Well, so Maya's wearing a jean overalls with a pink shirt underneath, and I guess that's supposed to be 90s. Mm-hmm. And then Sierra's got like a neon blue and a neon shirt with like a neon pink headband for the 80s. And then I was told this morning that neon is really for the 80s. Like, that's neon is the 80s. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, early 90s, there was pretty much neon. It wasn't really until the release of, and I got to tell you, these decades, they're really kind of false markers. And it really wasn't until the release of Nirvana Smells Like Teen Spirit that we kicked off the grunge era. It's a lot more flannel. They quickly became disinterested in my knowledge. So.
People often, I mean, they want to come onto the podcast. They don't come on the podcast. We don't allow guests. But listeners, they tune in. They find their radio dial. They tune in because they want to hear the preaching opinions of people, who are not professionally preaching right now. And they want to know fashion advice and fashion news. And the thing that I'm most excited about, Matt, is it was a 90s staple, was the overall. Really had a moment in the 90s, and it's back, Matt, and I'm here for it. I'm a big fan of the overalls.
Yeah. Are you wearing a lot of overalls?
I'm not, but because we're not adding anything to our home as it's now in boxes. But when I get where I'm going, I think it might be overall time.
Incredible. Yeah.
I mean, it was more of a feminine thing, but maybe it's time for me to get up on the.
Yeah. Speaking of the 90s, book recommendation for you. I know you're going to do a lot of driving pretty soon. Chuck Klosterman's.
Don't read and drive. Don't read and drive. Chuck,
audiobook. Chuck Klosterman's The 90s. Really solid. Very, you know, a lot of nostalgia. Our friend of the pod, Rob Saylor, who we drove single-handedly drove away from Lutheranism and into the arms of the Orthodox Church. We interviewed him about his book on Radiohead, so he also knows music and theology and culture. Yeah. So he highly recommends this book. Check it out, The 90s.
Did you listen to it? Do you ever review?
I did. I liked it. I couldn't. Rob seemed very excited about it from his posts, and I just thought, oh, that was a fun nostalgic walk in the park. So I enjoyed it. It was a lot of like, oh yeah, I remember that.
I, full disclosure, I checked it out in physical copy, physical form from the library. put it on my my holds. Mm-hmm. Got home, read the first chapter, and whatever was going on in my life, I was like, I don't have time for this self-indulgence.
That's what it felt like. It's just guilty pleasure. That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Chuck.
Yeah.
I see you had a great time writing this, and I'm glad for you.
That's why you do audiobooks, Zach, because then you can do other productive things with your hands and your feet, you know? Anyway, that's why people come to this podcast, for 90s nostalgia.
90s preaching nostalgia.
What else? What else is going on?
Well, Matt, as you mentioned, my child is not doing Spirit Week, but is dressing up in costume today. It's the first week of summer vacation in a really weird time in our life when we're prepared to move across the country. So we don't got camps. We don't have daycare or not daycare, day camp, whatever the more respectable version of daycare is for 7-year-olds. We don't have any of that figured out. My vinyl spouse is still working, and I'm still kind of working and packing all at the same time and providing superb childcare and parenting. Yesterday, we needed to watch a movie. That was a thing that needed to happen, man. And normally, I have a lot of confidence in my ability to do some like deep pulls from the 90s, from my 90s childhood, to be like, oh, I bet Netflix hadn't served you up this or that, right? So I thought, what better way to start the summer than with a film called Ernest Goes to Camp. I thought that would be... I thought that, you know, she hasn't seen the Ernest movies. And there's a reason, it turns out. It's because none of the Ernest films are on streaming. So I've got to locate...
No!
VHS copy. Actually, you can buy them, but I couldn't bring myself to buy an Ernest film.
You don't want that in your purchase history?
No. So then I was like, well, I can find something else, right? And so I go to Disney Plus, looking through the films, and she's seen them all. Like, a difficult thing for the modern 2020s parent is your kid has, if they have access to streaming and they've ever been in control of it for, I don't know, 15 minutes, they've seen every film. And so you got to go deep in the bag, Matt. And we went deep in the bag yesterday, and I found something she hadn't seen, but I thought she was going to like. It's a little film called Harriet the Spy, starring Rosie O'Donnell, most importantly, and a bunch of child actors from the 90s that you would remember and be like, oh, yeah, that was great. And here's the best part, Matt. Like I knew she would, loved it. And as the vinyl spouse got home and we were packing, we would see only out of the corner of our eyes a waif, a shadowy figure, because she dressed up and spent the rest of the evening spying, sitting in corners with a notebook, writing down everything she saw. And that has continued into today.
Yes.
The hood is up. She's put on her black ballet tights and unitard in order to be, we got to work on the language here. She wanted to be blackish, she said. I get where you're going for. We just maybe a different word for that. I have a spy in my house right now, and it is the cutest thing in the world. And that is this episode of the Dadcast, Vinyl Dadcast.
It's incredible. That's good advice. Okay, we'll check out Harriet the Spy. Good.
There are some adult themes, so be ready. Bullying is a part of it, you know. So just content warning there.
Got it.
But the main takeaway was I should dress up in a lot of clothes and sneak around, which is actually a pretty good move for the parent, because then she's hiding from
it. It's a pretty good move.
And it's not hide and seek. It's...
Well done, sir. Yeah, that was that's good. Good.
If, Matt, you want to learn more excellent parenting tips like this, you could probably get them at a little thing called the Wild Goose Festival.
Indeed. I haven't yet promoted Wild Goose yet. This podcast, hey, friends.
Hey.
It's a word from our sponsor. We're going to take a break for a word from our sponsor. Hey, friends. I'm thrilled to share that we will be recording a podcast from the Wild Goose Festival this July 13th to 16th, which includes my 42nd birthday. Wild Goose Festival is a transformational community grounded in faith-inspired social justice. It's a one-of-a-kind gathering that brings together activists, artists, and seekers from all walks of life to explore justice, art, spirituality, and community. The festival will take place in the barbecue desert of Van Hoy Farms in Union Grove, North Carolina. Maybe there'll be a food truck, though. Maybe. Maybe they'll bring somebody in. Likely. I don't know. We'll see. And I'd love for you to join us there. From engaging workshops to inspiring panels and interactive experiences, Wild Goose has something for everyone. So mark your calendars. Let's be a part of this incredible community that is committed to making a positive impact in the world. For more information, visit wildgoosefestival.org. And get this, Zach, as one of our followers.
Get what?
Use discount code VINYL, V-I-N-Y-L, all caps, and you'll get $50 off the price of an adult weekend ticket. What can you buy for 50 bucks? You know, I mean, then you could take that 50 bucks and you can spend on barbecue. Exactly. That's exactly what you can do with it. It'll be great.
You can buy all the Ernest films, I bet.
And all the Ernest films. The
Ernest collection. Do you think vinyl is an acronym, Matt? Is there vehicle identification number you like? In case you need like a mnemonic device to
yeah. Yep, that's a good mnemonic device. Always helpful.
Vehicle identification number you like. That's the permit room.
Well, on that note, let's talk about the texts.
I look forward to us going back to Wild Goose next year so that they can have a social media post where they say that the vinyl preacher is returning to the goose.
Yes, returning to the goose. A reference to the returning to the desert slot at Coachella,
and they've been using that verbiage.
Yeah,
returning. Yeah, that they're pleased that like Brian McLaren is returning to the Wild Goose.
Returning to the goose. That'll be us next year. What do we got? It's the fourth Sunday after Pentecost.
Top four Sunday.
Top four Sunday. first reading. Here's the description in my my Celebrate insert. This is a description of Jeremiah. Jeremiah accuses God of forcing him into a ministry that only brings him contempt and persecution. Sound familiar, Zach? Does that sound familiar to you? Yet Jeremiah is confident that God will be a strong protector against his enemies and commits his life. That sounds like kind of a whiplash into God's hands. He's pissed, but then gonna turn on a dime and let's see what it sounds like. This is a reading from Jeremiah. Oh Lord, you have enticed me and I was enticed. You have overpowered me and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all day long. Everyone mocks me, for whenever I speak, I must cry out. I must shout violence and destruction, for the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all day long. If I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, then within me there is something like a burning fire shut up in my bones. Woo! There's a good one for you. I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot. For I hear many whispering, terror is all around. Denounce him. Let us denounce him. All my close friends are watching for me to stumble. Yep, sounds like my life. All my close friends just watching for me to stumble. Perhaps he can be enticed and we can prevail against him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me like a dread warrior. Therefore my persecutors will stumble and they will not prevail. They will be greatly shamed and they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord of hosts, you test the righteous. You see the heart and the mind. Let me see your retribution upon them. For to you I have committed my cause. Sing to the Lord. Praise the Lord. For he has delivered the life of the needy from the hands of evildoers. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to the holy dread warriors. Matt, speaking of dread warriors, new 30 for 30. It's lost some buzz. Okay. Like the 30 for 30 series. Like when they first were coming out, you know, like. Mm-hmm. Watching all of them, and now there's way more than 30. There's maybe 300 for 30. But dropped in my timeline last night part one of a two-part 3-hour 30 for 30 documentary on the American Gladiators, and you have to watch it. Speaking if this is the 90s nostalgia episode, Matt, you have to watch it.
Wow.
Because I can't wait for part two. I've read previews, and in part two it takes like a it gets even crazier. The way it is directed, it's insane. You get the nostalgia. This is more than your coaster, man. Okay, you get the nostalgia, but then like the real intrigue. Oh gosh, it's so good. This whole first like hour and a half, they keep like talking about how it's just they found the creator. Like he's the kind of protagonist of the story, and he is everything that he's everything you thought he would be, like Elvis impersonator turned promoter, hard scrabble. You know, his hair is still jet black, spray tan, you know, like just the grossest dude ever. And he's just pushing the story. It's just the story of two guys from Erie, Pennsylvania who made it. And every time they're like, so yeah, why isn't Dan the co-creator? Like, why isn't he a part of this project? And he's like, well, I don't want to talk about that. He refuses to acknowledge the existence of this person he talks about a lot. And they're like, yeah, so what is the story of where the name came from? And he's like, I'm not going to talk about that.
What?
He's like, that's the day in 1982 when American Gladiators was born. He's like, oh, well, how'd you come up with that name? I'm not going to talk about that. So part two is the search for the co-creator of American Gladiators. It ends, Matt. Part one ends with the protagonist bought the life rights of the co-creator and is refusing to let him speak publicly.
What?
I didn't know I had life rights to sell, Matt.
That makes no sense.
Yeah, it's insane. It is as insane. And you get to see the gladiators, and the gladiators were paid $25,000 a year, Matt, which is nuts, right? Even back then, that's not very much money, wow. Right? And they didn't have health insurance. They didn't have health insurance, man.
And they were gladiators?
They did two shows a day, 6 days a week, where they suffered so many concussions and they did not have health insurance.
Wow. Well, we can only
hope that... Only in America.
We can only hope that Jeremiah has got better treatment from the Lord. Although maybe it sounds similar. He's kind of got he's got issues.
He goes back and forth. As do the gladiators go back and forth singing the praise of like, how amazing the time was that they were selling out arenas, you know, that they didn't have any part of the merchandise anyway, right? That they were like faceless run toys everywhere, that people walked up to them in the street, and they were literally being paid in muffins. We do get a lot of back and forth here, Matt, with this ancient Near Eastern gladiator of the spirit world, Jeremiah. You get the back and forth. The thing that I would lean on that I think works, I haven't done enough research to really definitively say this is what Jeremiah is about, but it's what the Old Testament and the Hebrew Bible is about. So I think it works, is you get this back and forth where the prophet is pissed, right? The Lord is like a dread warrior. My persecutors will stumble. They will not prevail. They'll be greatly shamed. They won't succeed. Let me see your retribution upon them. And you think that Jeremiah is calling upon the gods to destroy, to kill, to murderate, unalive the enemies. But then, for he has delivered the life of the needy from the hands of the evildoers, that the retribution of the Lord, the God's justice, is not the killing of the enemies, but it is the freeing of the captive, delivering the life of the needy. It is an unexpected punchline to the wrath that Jeremiah seems to legitimately be feeling and perhaps even calling for. And that's always what the Hebrew Bible's doing. The covenant is always this like set up with a unexpected punchline of justice for the poor.
Yeah. Nice.
Which really is the story of the American Gladiators, because it wasn't about the gladiators, Matt. It was about the contenders, the little guy.
Oh, wow. Incredible. Yeah, I think that's really good to highlight that last line, deliver the life of the needy from the hands of the evildoers. And that is the purpose of the sword. I think that would carry us well into the gospel. I'll say one more thing about this text. The line that I underlined was this classic burning fire. There's within me. If I try to not speak, there is within me something like a burning fire shut up in my bones. Such an incredible image. And I wondered if you could tie that image to the classic spiritual, This Little Light of Mine, which we often think of as like a very positive, like it's bright and shiny. But maybe this is another way to think about that little light, that like there's something that sometimes that is what the call is like, whatever that call looks like for you. The thing that you need to do, in the world that God's called you to do. Maybe it's a happy, This Little Light of Mine. But if you think about the use of that song in the civil rights movement, sometimes it is more like a burning fire, shut up in your bones. And so that might be a way to tie that image to a song that might be familiar to your community.
Another colloquialism along those lines, Matt, right, is to have like fire in your eyes or fire in the eyes. Put that into the ancient Near Eastern context, right? The eyes are the window to the soul, where like the evil eye stuff comes from. And I think that points to fire in the bones, right? That sense of like the fire that is animating, burning within you.
Yeah,
is what that fire in your eyes. Maybe that's what this little light of mine is. So.
Mm-hmm. Matthew,
that's you. Jesus said, we're in the middle. We're jumping around. Jesus said to the 12 disciples, a disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher and the slave like the master. If they've called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. Matt, what I say to you in the dark, tell in the light. And what you hear whispered, there's a lot you could do with the reading here. What you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, yet one of them will fall to the ground apart from your father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted, so do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Take that, birders. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. Whoever denies me before others, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think, Matt, don't do it, that I've come to bring peace to the earth. This is the motto. This is going to be the motto for our live show at Wild Goose. I've not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I've come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
There's a lot there, man.
It's a lot. It's a lot. So what's the connection? The connection to Jeremiah, I guess, is the sword. The
sword, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the sword. It's the slicing and dicing here, stirring things up, which ties into the fire piece as well. Combustion changes things. Yes. Things that are been through the fire. Even if you're a talking head talking about how the Miami Heat may not be talented enough to run with the Denver Nuggets, but they've been through the crucible of a Game 7, and now they've changed. They're different, right? The people are making that like argument, which is silly. But it's a story we believe, right? That there are things that go through crucibles, right, are changed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can't go back.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't go back. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know where to go with this one. I mean, like, I like the fire in the bones better than anything in here. Maybe it's what to really be afraid of, the things to fear and not fear. You could do some stuff with that. His eyes on the sparrow, always a good tune to tie in if you want to sing His Eyes on the Sparrow. Mm. This could be a place for that one. And yeah, I don't know.
I mean, if you're looking for the other connection, right, is there is a surprise punchline, I think, again, at the end of this gospel, right, where you're really getting built up in that same way Jeremiah is building you up, hyping you up, that, like, this is how it's going to be. We're not peace, but sword. We're going to, like, father, son, whoever, right? You got to be ride or die. This is it. And you're getting hyped up, and then it says, whoever loses their life will find it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? It's a really dissonant sort of promise at the end of it, right? And if you're looking for straight up gospel and need a, you know, a meat and potatoes gospel sermon here, you've got a very cruciform closer here that makes for some easy good news, which is fine to do, especially in the summertime. You don't need to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's the place to do it. You're right. The surprise ending. Take that line. Those who find their life will lose it. Those who lose their life for my sake will find it.
Pair that gospel with the peace and the sword, right? Like, and you get that same dissonance, right? Like I think that it's been I can articulate it a little clearer with the Jeremiah, where the the retribution of the Lord is the salvation of the needy, right? It's not violence on the oppressors. What is the sword doing, right? What is the sword? The sword takes your life, actually.
Yeah, that's probably really good in our current context or any context, that it's not a call to go on the offensive with the sword, which I think they're, I could see other folks taking that line. I've not come to bring peace, but a sword, and using it in some pretty unhelpful and harmful ways. So this might be an opportunity to give folks another way to think about this text, that no, actually, Jesus is just really defensive. Lose your life to find it, which is a very different, very different thing.
Taking that sword to your life.
And also, as you, that's the heart of the good news. We'll just highlight that. But since you mentioned summer and also the birders, here's your summer to do your birding sermon. You could just highlight that sparrow. It's late June. It's summertime. Preach about birds. It'll be
great.
Jesus
is a birder. He's out there counting all the birds.
Just be careful, because if you're doing research for a sermon, start doing deep dives on sparrows. You just never know. You that's going to be just a bottomless pit. Once you start getting into birding, you know, so just be a little careful.
It's a crucible, Matt. It changes it.
Just like Elsa in Frozen 2, don't go too far or else you'll drown. Mm. You gotta go a little ways, but don't go too far, because you'll get stuck forever in the burning.
Recognize your limits.
Yep. Well, what are we listening to?
Well, Matt, I use my privilege as the person who creates the outline each week to take the killer song from you, Fire and Bone, which is obviously the song of the week. Which you don't always have, but song of the week this week, clearly Fire and Bone.
Mm-hmm.
What's that album? It's a great album, relatively new.
Imploding the Mirage. Incredible title.
Whole album title
fits the reading. It's Imploding the Mirage, which I mean, I think is like a grandiose Brandon Flowers metaphor, but could also be a reference.
He doesn't need the rest of the band.
Could also be a reference to the impending implosion of the Mirage Hotel in Las Vegas.
Ooh, possibly. Wow. That's why you come. That's actual nuggets why people come to the podcast. Then there's a new soundtrack out for a new film that I look forward to watching in theaters, Matt. The Barbie movie, which I'm actually getting pretty intrigued by, Matt. It looks...
Yes, I saw another trailer. It was like, wow.
Yeah. When Margot is like, oh gosh, it's so good. It's a whole Barbie world. And then she's like, you guys ever think about dying? And they have like everything stopped. Yeah. It's really good.
Yep.
Slowly, some tracks are being released from the soundtrack, including one from my favorite British-born pop purveyor of pop, pure pop sugar. Matt, you don't know what happens in the dark, so you should bring in the light. So if you're going to be dancing in the night, go ahead and dance in the light too, because I suspect one of the things that's happening in the dark is there's dancing. Dance the Night. A new Dua Lipa track off of the Barbie soundtrack. Check it out. It's pretty good. It's pure sugar. But that's what you need in the summertime sometimes. And finally, Big Thief. which sounds like Big Star, but they're pretty cool. They got a track called Sparrow. So put some bird songs on this week.
Nice. Nice. That is an excellent, excellent playlist. I'm going to go with those, the fire theme too, since you stole the killers from me. I can't use that one, but I'll do Usher Burn.
Ooh.
We'll do Elvis Burning Love. It's classic late period Elvis track. And, The Fire, which is The Roots, featuring John Legend. It's, an excellent track from How I Got Over The Fire.
Love it.
Well, it's been real.
Real nostalgic.
Ooh.